The most significant mitzvot in this week's parasha of Naso is the mitzvah of the sota, the woman who's suspected of being an adulterous wife, and she's brought to Yerushalayim, to the Beit HaMikdash, where she has to undergo a particular ceremony. She has to drink the sota water, or the mayim hama'ararim, the bitter waters, and various things are done designed to humiliate her and make her confess if she is indeed guilty. Amongst those things is Ufarai Rosh Haisha, that the Kohen uncovers the hair of the woman, and Rashi explains, Mikan Livnot Yisrael, Shegilui HaRosh Gnai Lahem. From here we learn that it's unbecoming for Jewish women to have their hair uncovered, and this is based on a Gemara in Masechet Ketubot, Daf Ayin Bet, Amud Aleph. It's clear from the Gemara and also from the Rambam that there are a number of different degrees of prohibition here. There's a concept known as Dat Moshe, which is that a woman has to have her hair covered when in public. And there's also a notion known as Dat Yehudit, which means this is the way that Jewish women behave. And it's a higher level of stringency and requires that a woman wears something dignified on her head at, when she goes out into the public domain. It seems that there are three areas for consideration. The first is the shuk. If a woman goes out into public, then she's bound both by Dat Moshe and also Dat Yehudit. She has to cover her hair properly and also in a dignified manner. At the other end of the spectrum, there's the chatzer. This is a private area, a woman's own home that's, or back garden, that's where no other people don't come in. And there's no absolute halachic requirement at all for her to cover her hair. There is, based on the Zohar, views that maintain that even in the privacy of a woman's own house, she should always cover her hair. But that's not normative halacha. That's, and in the chatzer, she doesn't have to have her hair covered. And then there's a third area in the middle, which is mechatzer lechatzer derech mavoi, when she goes from one chatzer to another through a cul-de-sac. So that's sort of semi-private, semi-public. She's not going to meet the whole world there, but she might bump into one or two other people there. In that area, she's bound by Dat Moshe, that she has to have her hair covered, but she's not bound by Dat Yehudit, that it has to be in a dignified manner. The big question is, what is this Dat Yehudit? What's meant by a dignified manner? Rav Nachum Rabinovich in Shelot Tshuvot Siach Nachum Simon Kufhei refers us to the Rambam in Perek Kafdalad of Hilchot Ishut, who says, Ve'ezohi Dat Yehudit, what is the definition of Dat Yehudit, who minhag hatzniut shenahagu benot Yisrael. This is the modest practice of Jewish women, and he makes the observation that this is somewhat ill-defined, and it's clearly something which is very subjective, depending on the time and the place and the society in which a woman finds herself in. That's it's clear that from from this that the definition of Dat Yehudit and the expectations and the social norms in Meir Shearim are going to be different to what Dat Yehudit is in Manhattan or somewhere else. That's he makes the further observation that it's also permitted for a woman to have some of her hair protruding from her hair covering. That's even though she has to have most of her hair covered. Nevertheless, based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Einaich Yonimi Badlat Samatech Sarech Keeder Haizim, which refers to a woman's cap and her hair. So it's clear from this pasuk that even when a woman's wearing a cap, she'll have some hair protruding. And the Rama in Orach Chaim Siman Ayin Hay also speaks about the bits of hair that protrude from under a woman's hair covering. And therefore, he says it's clear that from a halachic perspective, a woman doesn't have to have all of her hair covered. That's how much will depend again on Dat Yehudit and what subjective expectations are within the community that a woman finds herself in. He makes the further observation, though, that even in the privacy of her own home, that if there are men there who are not immediate members of her family, then she does have to have her hair covered. That this is based, he says, on a Medrash Rabbah in Parashat Korach, where it talks about the wife of On Ben Pelet, that she didn't want him to come to the same nasty end that Korach and his followers came to, and she prevented Korach's followers from dragging On Ben Pelet along with them by sitting at the doorway to the tent with her hair uncovered, so that other men couldn't come into the house. That's a disclaimer, of course, is that this whole discussion about in the privacy of her own home, that isn't discussing whether or not her husband and immediate male members of the family can say brachot and kriyat shema in the presence of her hair. That's a different consideration. That's to do with erva more than it is to do with tzniut, and that, as I say, is another topic in its own right. We'll conclude with an appropriate limerick for this topic. There once was a lady of title who insisted on wearing a shaitel. She didn't care much for kashrus and such, but to her, a shaitel was vital. Adkan.